Hi, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure, Daylight and a Dollar Short. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
We are recording on Monday. We had, I would say, probably the busiest weekend in the history of weekends. I would say WrestleMania weekend is a traditionally busy weekend for this household.
It was WrestleMania weekend, and the only time that both of us were available to record while Henry was not requiring our attention was Saturday night, and there was some big WrestleMania action happening.
Guys, there was a huge tag team match between The Rock, Roman Reigns, facing off against Seth freaking Rollins, and Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare himself. Mm. I don't know why I didn't use either of the heel nicknames. The Rock, a.k.a. the Final Boss, and the Tribal Chief himself, Roman Reigns. Anyway, I would still, I applied for that job and haven't heard back. It's still open. I saw a picture of all the producers at WrestleMania, and I was like, oh, they don't need another me. They're full of me.
Do you think that's part of the issue?
No, I don't think that's part of the issue. I think that's just like, it's probably taking them a while to fill a position because they're busy.
And
WrestleMania season.
And I think they don't want to pay very much, would be my guess.
From what I hear, you made me lowball them.
I disagree, but okay.
What do you mean?
Whatever.
I'm sorry if you don't think the hottest property around is paying people.
Okay.
I
guess
never
I was wrong.
They've never been hotter.
Never been hotter. You told me that they have 100 million YouTube subscribers.
That's true. I did see that the other day, and I was fascinated by that. And I went to go check it against other sports, like real sports. I think the NBA is the closest with like 26 million.
Mm. Yeah.
WWE has like lapped it 3 times. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's wild.
Good content being produced over there on their YouTube channel. They're quick about it, which I like. Like there's already clips up from Monday Night Raw, which hasn't even aired on the West Coast yet.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I appreciate.
Wow.
Just speed. Anyway, that said, we had quite a weekend. Not just counting WrestleManias. We had, what did I do? Sunday was the big day.
Sunday was a big Dita Henry day.
T-ball in the morning. That started, T-ball is at 9 o'clock in the morning. We show up and the other team's already there. And the other team is, I just couldn't even know. I didn't even understand. The other team had intro music. They had music for each player and announcements for each player coming up. These are 5 and 6 year olds mm-hmm. playing T-ball. Mm-hmm. And, like, they were running plays. Like, Henry was the first to bat, and Henry hit the ball and ran. And as he was going to first, they, like, had a play in action. It was like, throw to first. And the kid threw to first. And I was like, whoa, what is this?
They knew what they were doing.
It was very bad news, Bearsy.
It was.
It was very, like, we were very, like, we were up against the rich kids kind of a thing. And, like, it was wild.
And, there are also a lot of tears on our team.
A lot of individual kids breaking down and crying for various reasons.
Matt really had to play sports psychologist.
Look, as the assistant coach, I saw that the coach wasn't really about that. So I took more of an emotional support level rather mm-hmm. than an instructional baseball support. Mm-hmm. It was pretty, like, I mean, one of the kids was crying because it was very funny to see. And I don't mean it's funny the kid was crying, but it's a very, it's like, it's a funny visual. He would hit the ball off the tee, and then he'd start to run up the first baseline and then turn and then run away from everybody into the, like, dugout. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I talked to him, and I think it's just because these kids were running plays. So he's not used to, like, hitting a ball and people fielding it and, like, going towards him.
Yeah.
So he was terrified of hitting every time he went up there. Yeah. Which was, like, I get it. I think, you know, if he decides to continue, which I don't think he wants to continue, but if his parents decide to keep bringing him,
yeah,
then I think he'll just, he'll ease into it. It'll be fine.
I think he will. I feel like he'll keep coming.
I don't know.
I feel like you guys really had a, you guys really had a connection.
Well, he didn't want to go.
He felt safe with you.
He didn't want to go into the dugout because there was a scorpion.
Oh.
And then I was like, I remembered last week he said there was a scorpion in the dugout too.
Oh, really?
And then it only occurred to me, like, oh, you're full of shit.
Right.
Not, I don't know why the first time it didn't occur to me. I'm like, oh, he probably saw some large bug that he thinks is And then Henry had a meltdown of his own because he got tagged out going to second.
Who told him to go to second?
I told him to run to second. I didn't think they'd tag him in time.
They did tag him in time.
And then Henry threw his helmet. Well, first he said, I didn't feel it. Doesn't count. And I was like, it does count, like, buddy.
What?
Counts if it doesn't matter if you feel it. We saw it. He's like, no, I'm not playing that way. And he took his helmet off and threw it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're going to have to go take a timeout. I grabbed his helmet and walked with him out to the outfield. And they continued the game while I had a lengthy discussion with Henry about what had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't want to play that way. And I was like, well, how do you want to play? And he's like, I want to play that it doesn't count if you don't feel it. I was like, bud, that's not a rule. And he's like, it's my rule. And I was like, well, nobody else knew it was your rule. And he's like, because I forgot to tell them. I was like, I said, first of all, Henry, because he hadn't, you know, it was like he roped a little ball right through the infield and went to the grass. And I was like, look, you got tagged out. It's no big deal. I just want to say that your hustle was great and your hit was amazing. Mm-hmm. You did a great job. You did everything you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I didn't say your dad shouldn't have sent you to second base. You should have just stayed at first. But I didn't want to open up that other wound, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was, and the game seemed endless only because the other team was actually playing baseball.
Right.
Like the week before, it was like we played against a team that had three kids on it.
Well, that's the thing too, is the way that this league works is everyone gets a chance to bat in every inning. So when you have two teams of eight-ish,
yeah,
it takes a little while.
Some of them were really concerned. The kids on our team were really concerned about whether or not they were winning.
And we don't keep score.
And I was like, "But it doesn't matter." And it's like, "But who's winning?" I was like, "Well, technically, we have more people, so we're winning by two people." That seemed to cheer them up.
Boy!
Oh my God, it was crazy. And they all couldn't like. It was your classic, like, you know, you tell a kid to play first base, but then another kid says they want to play first base, but only because they heard you tell the other kid to play first base.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Henry was, like, sort of playing second base, but... I mean, all the action was really at the pitcher, because, you know, everyone was hitting ground balls that were rolling to the pitcher. And I told Henry to go stand up by the pitcher, but he didn't want to. Anyway, it was a pretty exciting thing. And then Henry and I, after the game wrapped up, which seemed to take the whole time, we drove to Anaheim, California, to see the Angels and the Red Sox play. And we made it 5 innings. In one inning, they hit 3 home runs. And that, for all 3 of those home runs, Henry and I were in line because he wanted a hot dog. But we ended up in line at a burger stand because I couldn't find hot dogs. I went the whole first base side of the concourse. I couldn't find anyone vending hot dogs. There was like a waffle, an ice cream situation. There was a chicken, fried chicken, hot chicken situation. There was a burger situation, like a Five Guys-esque kind of a situation. There was a sort of a grab-and-go that had like your traditional fare, like peanuts and Cracker Jacks and beer and whatever. So I thought it was very odd that I didn't see like a definitive hot dog vendor.
Yeah, that is odd.
So that game was a 1 o'clock game. We got to the stadium at 12, probably got there and parked at 12:30.
Okay. How is the parking situation?
It's a big giant parking lot, so.
So it was not fine. Like the hell of Dodger Stadium.
Well, I don't think Dodger Stadium is hell going into it at all. I think it's pretty easy to get into. Getting out is the problem.
Getting out,
Dodger
yeah.
Stadium. And yeah. Henry and I, luckily Henry decided to tap out after the 5th inning.
Right.
So it wasn't right. really a problem.
Right, yes.
Because
yes.
we weren't even halfway into the game yet.
Yeah.
Parking was only $20, which I was like, oh, that's surprising. I don't know why that was surprising, but it was. You forget when you're used to like the prices to park in and around Boston, you don't quite understand how people can charge so little for parking.
I know.
I remember the first time I drove to Burbank and like parked in one of the garages, you know, around the downtown. You know, mm-hmm. or by the mall, the shopping district, that you know, that sort of.
Yeah, the free parking.
Yeah. And I was like, is this broken? What's happening?
I know.
Am I going to get towed?
There's like free parking.
What do I not know?
There's free parking at the Glendale Galleria.
Yes. All of this stuff. Like the fact there's free parking at the city, the Target, an hour of free parking is crazy to me. Mm.
Well, you know, I feel like I've gotten so used to doctor's parking lots that are so expensive and none of the doctors validate. And so every time you go to the doctor, you end up paying like $10 for parking or something.
Yeah.
And I'm doing physical therapy now for my tennis elbow and there's free parking. And I was like, what? This is
intense.
This is wild.
Yeah, because Henry's pediatrician is a very small garage, and like
I hate that garage.
I do. I also dislike that garage immensely. Could never find a street spot. Anyway, so Henry and I were at the game. We had a good time. He sort of enjoyed himself. He really enjoyed the snacks. He had to pee a bunch. I was so glad I sprung for the aisle seats. So that we could keep, frequently
smart,
exit.
Smart, smart, smart.
And I was extra smart, too, because the section we were in ended at a wall. So there weren't two aisles.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So section 221 at Anaheim Stadium, anybody thinking about going there, just know that there's only one aisle. It's on the right mm-hmm. side. Mm-hmm. Let's see. He finally did put on his sweatshirt. He wore his little Red Sox hat the whole time. He fell asleep in it. You saw that, right? Yeah, I sent you the picture of him sleeping in the car. He fell asleep in the car on the way back home. And we didn't get home. We got home at like 4 o'clock, which from a 1 o'clock game that you don't stay the whole game, it's not terrible. And what time did you leave?
I left at about 4:40.
Dory now teaches Mahjong to groups of people who are interested in learning Mahjong. So
I do. It's true.
If you're interested in learning Mahjong, find someone like Dory to teach you.
So far, I only teach in person. You can teach online. I learned how to play online because it was during the pandemic and no one was playing in person. I just like vastly prefer to play and I think teach in person.
Sure.
So,
But then Dory left and then it was Henry and I, and it was a post-nap Henry, and bedtime was tremendously difficult. WrestleMania was on.
There's some like ratio where if he sleeps for X number of minutes, bedtime gets delayed by X number of hours.
Yeah.
Like a half hour nap turns into bedtime being like 2 hours later.
Yeah. So
it's not a 1-to-1 ratio.
I didn't get him to like, let's see. He saw the end. No, did he see the end of WrestleMania? Yeah, I think he did. Because it ended at like 11 o'clock West Coast time. So that's 11 o'clock East Coast time. So that was 8 o'clock out here. And then he couldn't sleep. And he's like, he wanted me to put on more ladder matches. He loved the ladder match from Saturday's WrestleMania. He found it to be quite possibly his Mona Lisa, you know?
Sure.
The art of the ladder match. What did he say? Holly asked if he wanted to be a professional wrestler, and he said, yeah, I could do that.
He probably could.
Yeah, no, he said, like, but it wasn't even that. It was like, yeah, I could see that. It was something like that. I could see myself doing that in Henry words.
Right.
And then he's like, I just don't want to get hit by the ladder.
Which, you know, I said is reasonable.
Yeah, totally.
I too don't want to be hit by a ladder.
But already broken the, like, I don't know that I ruined it, but I'm trying to get him to understand wrestling on a storytelling and technical basis, meaning like I've already explained to him that they're pretending to hurt each other, and you know, if you look like you're getting hurt a lot, that makes you a pretty good wrestler because you're selling well for the other person. I taught him how to do a wrestling headbutt, which is to put your hand on someone else's forehead and then hit your hand with your head, not the other person's head. And he's been enjoying that. So I really feel like I'm being just a really good,
dad.
Well, it's like, you know, you just, the idea of wrestling, like I don't want him to be one of these maniac kids that like is jumping off of whatever's, you know what I mean? In like a,
yeah,
because I feel like the kids that don't understand that it's fake are the kids that end up hurting
right.
each other.
Right? Yes, yes, yes. Good point.
So I want him to this is what it is. They're not trying to hurt each other.
Right.
They're trying to make it look like they're hurting each other to tell an effective story. Which I think he sort of gets. I don't know. Whatever. He's 5. Who cares? He's not 5 yet. He'll be 5 in a week or so.
He's almost 5.
Yeah. And that was Sunday. And then by the time Dory came home, Cody Rhodes is already the champion. So Henry was asleep finally. 9:14 p.m. was the last time I saw him.
And then he woke up at his regular old time.
God. Oh, and that killed me because I had a terrible night of sleep. And then I was like, when I looked at my watch after he came, he said, it's 5:50. And I was like, oh my God, what? Because it felt like I had just dozed off. I had like, at the time it said that I had, oh no, here it is. It's still there. 3 hours, 28 minutes of sleep from 11:18 to 5 a.m. I had 0 minutes of REM. I was awake for 2 hours and 22 minutes in the middle of the night. And I was light sleeping for 2 hours and 56 minutes while having deep sleep for a total of 32 minutes last night.
Ugh.
It, and when he woke me up, I was like, this is not fair.
Like, well, I'm it just proves, you know, I always say, like, when he wakes up so early, I feel like sometimes people are like, push his bedtime. And it's like, that doesn't matter. He wakes up at the same time. Like, he went to bed at 9:15 and he woke up at 5:47.
But he had the nap. So he had the amount of sleep he needed. Do you know what I mean?
But, like, he didn't really, because he usually, I mean, he usually goes to bed by 7 and he went to sleep 2 hours and 15 minutes late and he only napped for half an hour.
Yeah, but, you know, naps are so rejuvenating.
Sure.
I fell asleep twice at my desk today.
We
keep my eyes open.
Actually, that reminds me, we should take a break. And Matt has an appointment with a sleep doctor.
That's true. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
All right.
We'll be right back.
BRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're back.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Dory made an appointment with a sleep doctor. What's exciting about it is they can see me in May.
Is that sooner or later than you thought they would be available?
Much later.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was such a pandemic that you're like, oh, if you make an appointment at a sleep doctor, I'm like, you should be able to get in reasonably within the next week.
Yeah,
but
no.
Turns out a lot more sleeping problems out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was one of those things where I do feel like, you know, I don't like doing things for Matt that he can like do himself, but making appointments is very difficult for him. What with the ADHD of it all. And it's not difficult for me. I don't mind picking up the phone and calling and making an appointment. So I was like, you know what? Let me do this for him.
But in a way, you're doing it for us.
And I am doing it for us. But I'm mostly doing it for you because...
Right.
Your sleep is not okay. So...
Oh, it's terrible. I'm like already like thinking about like the next... couple of days and like how to get sleep. I'm like, how am I gonna if I go to sleep at this time, it's like, God. Mm. I don't know. I don't take anything either to go to sleep, so you're just like, I mean, it was like driving home from Anaheim yesterday in the slow, dumb traffic was like, I was so close to falling asleep.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is ridiculous. But luckily, it had me get off at, like, Western, you know? Many exits before the normal exit on the 10. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier once you're in, you know, street traffic.
Sure.
Point is, I need to sleep. That's all we're saying. Because, like, I had a bad night of sleep. Oh, I had a terrible night of sleep on Saturday into Sunday. Because I remember I told you I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes, and you watched the whole 2004.
And I watched an entire game. I watched game 6 of the 2004 ALCS Red Sox-Yankees. I watched the whole thing.
He did.
And I was like, because I couldn't sleep. I woke up at 1:50 and I was like, I can't, why am I not being, I was like, let me just put this on. This will be like, sort of like background noise and I probably won't pay that much attention. And I was like, I started watching it like it was a game that was happening right now. And I was like locked in on every pitch. What time was it? 4 o'clock or so? I fell back asleep. And then, you know, Henry got up at 6 that morning, like 5:50 or 6 o'clock. So he woke me up then. And then I was like, oh my God, I have to be coaching a T-ball team in an hour and then go to Anaheim. And then I'm with Henry by myself until he sleeps. I was like, this is a disaster. And then it turns out the next day, last night, was the worst sleep. Anyway, if you want to write into the show, Dory and Matt at Gmail or Matt and Dory at Gmail, that's our email address. You could do that. You want to call us, leave a message, 413-461-BABY. Otherwise, record a voice memo and email it. That works too.
Do not record a voice memo and text it to us because Google Voice does not let you download voice memos. So it makes it very difficult for us to play them. So if you're going to send us a voice memo,
interesting,
email it to us.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you for that, Dodo.
All right. Should we get to some of these here emails?
I mean, is the next solar eclipse in 2045?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. This is from Emily, who says, Dory, I had a sneaking suspicion you had a sinus infection. I listened to the Forever 35 Patreon this morning where Kate went solo, and I thought, huh, Dory still has a cold. I wonder if she has a sinus infection like me. And then you revealed on Excellent Adventure that you do, in fact, have an infection. I'm so sorry to hear this. I'm on day 8 of my cold and day 3 of my sinus infection. I also got it from my child, a 16-month-old toddler in daycare, of course. To make matters worse, I'm 4 months pregnant, so I can't take antibiotics. Hope you feel better soon. I've been using my Vicks sinus inhaler, and it has really helped, as well as saline spray on repeat. Hopefully the spring and summer bring about less child-caused illnesses in our homes. Yes, thank you. I am better now. It was real bad for a few days there when I couldn't breathe. And now I'm better.
How many days into your antibiotics are you? Almost done?
I'm almost done. I think I'm 8 days in. And I'm supposed to take it for 10.
Nice.
So
finish your story. AKA your cycle of
antibiotics.
Yeah. I call everything finishing the story now because of Cody Rhodes.
Oh, okay. All right. This is from another listener. Not clear if they wanted to be anonymous, so I'm not going to say their name. Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm newish to the pod, crossover listener from Forever 35, but loving it so far, having had my own fertility struggles happily in the past now with my single son who just turned 10, also in LA, and love hearing your LA references. But I had to write in after hearing your response, Dory, to the listener who called in to dismiss your feelings in regard to how your friend had acted. I'm 100% with you on not wanting to be gaslit over how you felt. After many painful experiences like this over the years, I finally realized, despite wanting to be friends with people I sincerely like and who seem to sincerely like me, you can only truly be friends with people who share the same set of values and expectations around friendship. Otherwise, just as the caller essentially told you to do, you have to repress your feelings of hurt or sense of dismissal or risk of seeming needy or shamed for being too sensitive when, again, your expectations are just different and totally legit. An extension of this issue, and one I've wondered if you've encountered yet, is seeing this play out with your kids' friendships, which is just deeply painful. When my son was in kindergarten, he became best friends with an adorable little boy whose mom just didn't hold the same expectations as I did around friendship or making plans. We'd set up a play date for the kids after school, and then her son would announce after they got out, he just wanted to go home, and she'd shrug and say, "Let's do it another time." I'd have to soothe my child's feelings as he cried, watching them drive off. This happened multiple times and in various ways, such as weekend playdates suddenly canceled, last-minute change of plans, meaning they'd be a no-show. That basically was consistent with an attitude of, we put our needs first and don't consider your feelings as part of the deal of maintaining a friendship. Of course, I considered maybe they don't really like us and we're some sort of backup plan to them, which didn't feel good. And I tried to gently steer my son toward other friendships, which didn't quite work. I did also tell the mom that it was so disappointing to my son when they thought nothing of canceling at the last minute or backing out of plans that had been set up for weeks, and maybe she could introduce the idea to her son that being a good friend means considering the person's other person's feelings and how they react to what you do, and that making a commitment to a friend means unless something dire happens, you follow through. She basically shrugged and just didn't seem to get it. I was made to feel like I was some kind of control freak for finding her behavior inconsiderate and hurtful. She grew up in another country, and I considered whether this might be a cultural difference. I also wondered if she might have undiagnosed ADHD or so, and I thought I heard Matt mumble something about that's what I would do, though I wasn't sure what this meant. I tried to consider that she might be neurotypical and simply not capable of understanding others' feelings or just couldn't make or keep plans. Finally, no matter the cause, I'd had enough of watching my child get hurt and tried to impart to him that there are some people who just understand friendship and obligation differently, and he'd undoubtedly see this again in his life, and it was good to know what we valued and needed in our friends. It made me very sad to have to try to teach that to him at such a young age, but for sure, it's an experience I've had over and over as an adult. I don't blame the other five-year-old who is being taught, IMHO, a kind of self-centeredness or even narcissism at an early age. It was painful. It was a painful few years of my son claiming this boy was his best friend, until they eventually got placed in different classes later in elementary when both my son and I were trying to maintain a friendship with a parent and child who we both liked but just couldn't be friends to us in a way that we needed. It was also a reiteration to me, again, that people just share very different ideas about what it means to be a good friend. I sincerely believe the other mom thought there was nothing wrong with them putting their needs first and letting everyone else just deal with the chips falling as they did, including a five-year-old. There are so many iterations of this in our adult lives, it's tricky to navigate. Again, does someone have ADHD? Are they going through something they're not talking about? But bottom line, if you're feeling hurt again and again, that's not someone who's a real friend to you. With thanks for all that you do, wishing you all a good spring ahead.
Thank you for that. Dory, do you have any updates you'd like to share?
I did hear from this friend. They had not heard the podcast. They had talked to our other mutual friend who told them that they had told me. And so their text to me was...
It seems incredibly complicated. It's a lot of pronouns.
Yeah, it's a lot of pronouns. It's complicated. I think the TLDR is I felt that the text was kind of defensive and deflecting, and
I mean, read the text, but just insert blank's name. Just play blank.
Okay. Well.
Because the text, even to me, I was like, oh, the point is missed entirely.
Yeah. They said, I saw blank, and they told me that they told you I was pregnant. I indeed am, but it wasn't their news to share, which I told them for myriad reasons, but also because I wanted to tell you myself. Anyway, hope you're well. Would love to catch up sometime. XX.
That's two kisses.
It is. I mean, it's like I don't want to have to. I don't want to like parse this too much. I was not impressed with this text. It felt didn't feel great. But I also didn't want to like get into it. I didn't want to litigate it. I didn't want to start discussing the role of our other friend. It felt unfair to them to
Sure.
be brought into this. And so I just responded, "Congrats, happy for you and your fam," with a heart emoji.
Oh, I didn't know you had responded.
I did respond. And then they responded again.
This is updates to me, and I live here.
And they said that they haven't really been telling people. Thank you for the text. And then they said that this other mutual friend is an unreliable narrator, but that they intimated that I was upset with this friend. And they said, "I hope not, but here to talk stuff out."
That's a whole other ball game here. What's going on?
And I have not responded to this text because...
When did you get it?
I got it on Friday. Today is Monday.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was WrestleMania weekend.
So. It was WrestleMania weekend. I'm not totally sure how I want to respond to this because I don't really know. Yeah. Like, I think what I'm sort of concluding is that ultimately, I don't think this person is capable of being the kind of friend that I need them to be. And I don't want to like come in hot, but I also feel like they're kind of like putting all the work on me also. Like, I feel like they could have just called me and like talked it out. And instead I get this sort of like, "I heard you might be mad at me." Like, it's just, it's like,
I will say casual defense again. I don't know why I keep doing this. It's really hard to get the time right when you're in England.
They're not in England. They're in New York.
Oh, it's much easier to get the time right in
New York.
Thank you. You're welcome.
But thanks for always trying to defend the other person.
I'm just trying to present the facts. Look, here we are on this podcast. I'm just trying to say things that our listeners would say as devil's advocate.
But you know what? Devil's advocate is annoying. You don't need to play devil's advocate here.
I think it's a great movie. Keanu Reeves has never been better.
I think it's just like, I'm not mad at this person. I'm just like disappointed because I think it just sort of like brought into relief the nature of our friendship in a way that just felt shitty to me. You really don't know how to be empathetic. It's really unbelievable. You like can't resist doing like the devil's advocate thing. It's really crazy.
What are you talking about? I'm the king of empathy. Do you know how much time I spent on my knees in a t-ball field?
But maybe not to me. Maybe only to strangers.
Maybe if you were in a t-ball field. Maybe strangers? Should... How about consoling our son for half an hour?
Maybe I should get into a t-ball uniform. Maybe that would change things.
You are just...
All you have to say, all I need you to say is, yeah, that really sounds like it sucks.
Look, I know these people too, and I am still their friend, so...
Oh, I see.
We have to pick and choose.
You're going to pick them.
I'm not going to throw this friendship out just for you. God.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I like
their husband a lot, you know?
I'm not saying that. And that's also, I think, why I haven't responded yet, because I'm like, I don't want to throw this friendship out, but I also feel like, what is this friendship? Do you know what I mean?
It's interesting to be assessing it after, you know, 25 years.
Yes, exactly. So. Exactly.
I mean, in that respect, it's like,
yeah, it's
even,
a lot.
I don't even know.
Right.
Really, I mean, how many friends do I have still from 25 years ago?
I know.
Like four.
Right. So, you know, I think it's just, I don't know. It's just made me like, it's led me down a path that doesn't feel good.
Do you think it's a path that ultimately you'll feel some sense of either vindication or relief or some sense of positive finality when you go down the path?
What I suspect will happen is if I go down the path is we will have a conversation about this specific incident.
Mm-hmm.
But that ultimately this person is like not capable of being the friend that I like wanted her to be or thought she was.
Okay. Okay. And that is what?
What do you mean?
What is that for you? I mean, obviously it's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But like, is it like, here's what I'll, I guess I could, here's what I'm trying to get across.
Yep.
Is the destination worth the trip? Like,
I'm not following.
Do you want to, are you going to unpack, like, I mean.
Well, see, but that's the thing. It's not fair to her. It's not fair to her to, like, unpack 25 years of grievances.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that.
And I don't have 25 years of grievances.
I'm asking if it's fair to yourself, even, to go through this shenanigans.
Yes, I know.
You could just have a wonderful, superficial, long-distance friendship.
Well, I think, okay, I think you've actually hit at the heart of the matter, which is that I thought we had more than just a superficial long distance relationship.
Right.
And so now I'm having to like reconcile the fact that our friendship is not the friendship I thought it was.
Or not the friendship it used to be.
Yes.
Unless you're now, unless you're rotating this thing 360 degrees and you're seeing that at no point was it ever actually a deep, meaningful friendship.
No, I think it, I mean, it definitely was, but I think, like, it's just, I don't know, it's like, it's just sad. It's just sad to me. I'm just sad about it.
Yeah. That's entirely understandable. I guess what my question to you really is, like, would you do what I would do in this situation?
What would you do in this situation?
I would ignore this completely.
And just
go about continue. Our lives.
Go yeah, about.
Continue. And continue. I would be in contact. I would, you know. But I suppose now I would be less surprised or less expecting of a reciprocating nature of the relationship.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like, I don't think I even have like the energy to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like, what am I getting out of that relationship ultimately? If it's not anything real, you know what I mean? If it's just like this superficial relationship, I don't know. It's complicated.
Well, it is complicated. And it's something that I think we should dive a little bit more into once we take a break.
Ooh, okay.
We'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're back. This is, it's turning into a lengthy podcast because, you know, we're helping Dodo get through her Dodoisms. Let's see, where were we?
I mean, we don't have to spend any more time on this.
I am here to help. I'm a sports psychologist. I mean, I'm just saying, like, when I said I would leave it alone and not acknowledge it.
Right, because you don't like confrontation.
Who does? Who loves confrontation?
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Why? You should hate it. That's, ugh. I mean, I don't. I try actively to avoid all confrontation at all times.
Yeah, I don't.
And I think it's pretty much kept me alive, you know?
Okay, but that's you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm just simply trying to make sure we're taking the macro and the micro here. Like, this particular instance, this particular text exchange is the micro.
Mm-hmm.
Past 25 years is the macro.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know if it's... If you're... You know, jazzy. Although you did tell me you were not going to reply, and then you did, so... You surprise each of us every day, honey.
Mm. I do.
So it keeps this fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I mean, I'm sort of like, I feel like I'm kind of like done talking about this right now. Just in the sense of like, I feel like we're sort of talking in circles now.
Are there any more emails about it?
No, but there were a lot of emails and voicemails about flying with children.
Oh, okay. You know what? Let's crack that nut open.
Well, we have a voicemail. Are you prepared to play a voicemail?
It can be very shortly, which just...
Because I can read an email while you prep that voicemail if you want.
I'm already ready. Which one am I playing?
Flying with a toddler.
Flying with a toddler. Let me drag this right over to here. Bingo, bango. This is a 4-minute voicemail. There's going to be a lot of information in here. Prepare to unpack.
Hi, I'm calling in response to your Boulder bestie who's getting ready to take her first flight with a 15-month-old. So, I mean, throw your expectations out the window about what a plane ride should be, because you're not going to be sitting and you're not going to be relaxing with a kid that age. We live in London in the UK with two kids, and when we fly to visit my mom in...
What if this was your friend we were talking about? And they had called in to give advice about this, but completely ignored the rest of the podcast. It'd be very funny. Okay.
The U.S., and she's in Florida, so it's a 9 or 10 hour flight, depending. Yeah, we've had a lot of experience dealing with plane time with kids. Most recently in February when my son was 18 months. And yep, he's very much... on the move, does not want to sit still, you know, a bit too young for screen time. And the answer, frankly, is just holding his hand while he walks up and down the aisle 300 times, mm-hmm. just trying to make sure he's not bumping into people's legs too much. But otherwise, letting him smile and charm fellow passengers and...
I forgot, you know, about the walking up and down the aisle.
The flight attendants and just generally...
I forgot about the whole...
Sorry, everybody. That was it. Yeah, I was going
to
talk to you about that, walking up and down the aisle.
Yes, I forgot about how much walking up and down the aisle we did when Henry was 2 and we flew with him.
Yeah. Again, that was because we didn't have the car seat.
Correct, but he had his own seat because he had already
he had
turned
his own
two.
Seat, but we but didn't he, have the
we didn't have the car,
in
seat.
The car seat.
Yeah,
right.
And that was a fatal error.
Once he was secure in his car seat,
yeah,
he felt like he feels in the car, and he knows that in the car, he doesn't need to be getting up and walking around.
So right.
I think partially it's that. All right. Anyway, back in. Here we go.
Yeah. I mean, other things that have worked are getting those little coloring books that have that are, use water markers, little pens full of water, so he can color without, you know, risking damaging anything. And while screen time doesn't really work, here in the UK, the BBC has this amazing show called In the Night Garden, which is this, on the one hand, trippy kind of psychedelic, almost weird show that's targeted, you know, that's designed for very young children, but it's hypnotic. So my son, when he's tired, will fall asleep just watching it because it's so sort of slow and soothing. So I don't know if you can find it on Amazon Prime or on YouTube, but yeah, In the Night Garden, check it out. Luckily my 4-year-old is now of the age where she can just zone out and watch a tablet. So just praying for our youngest to catch up there as well. But yeah, I think if you have one kid, two adults, just take turns letting him walk up and down, letting him explore the, you know, the little areas by the toilets, and I don't know, just keep him busy and occupied, as I'm sure a plane journey will be full of wonder for him. But yeah, I know Dory said that you should look into getting a seat. We've never done that because obviously on a transatlantic flight, that's quite an expensive proposition. So, you know, we just had him on my lap, but, you know, he only sat there kind of when he had to for takeoff and landing, and he didn't always love it, but luckily we were still breastfeeding and that could sort of keep him calm while he was sitting in my lap. Yeah, so otherwise, good luck. You'll get through it. It's not so bad. I mean, hopefully with my eldest, she always fell asleep on planes. I think she just, you know, the noise and the vibrations just conked her out. So see if you can't swing that as well. Anyway, my stats are 2 grown-ups, 1 4-year-old science baby, 1 20-month-old non-science baby living in 1,300 square feet in London with 1 32-inch TV. And I've had 2 hot dogs this year during our last trip to Florida in February, because you can't get real hot dogs here in the UK. If somebody here is selling a quote unquote hot dog, they're lying. It's a sausage. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That's good advice about hot dogs, mm-hmm, not the flying. Mm-hmm. That right. was terrible advice. I'm kidding.
No, it was good advice. And like I said, I forgot about walking up and down the aisle. Crucial aspect of flying with a toddler. Thank you for that. Jackie had some thoughts as well. Definitely agree with Dory on buying the plane seat. Would spend my last penny on it, especially for 4 hours. That's giving me anxiety just thinking about it. Bring the travel car seat, can buy for $60 on Amazon, and act like it's a long car ride, only get out to change a diaper. If you don't end up buying the seat, bring the travel car seat to the gate and ask nicely at the gate if there are any empty seats for your baby. They will give it to you for free if there are any open. Sadly, empty seats are rare these days, but it does happen. If there are no seats, they will check your car seat to baggage claim, which you're going to need for your trip anyway. And for shows, Cocomelon on Netflix is the best I've found for that age group. And basically go with lots of patience and low expectations. Good luck, Jackie, in the Massachusetts suburbs with 3 girls, 1 science baby.
Thank you.
Plane time. All right, we have one more voicemail about this called Travel Answer and Disneyland Question.
Let's see if we can handle both of those things. Here we go.
Hi, Matt and Dory and Boulder Bestie. Your question is the one I'm answering today. I am writing in or voice recording in about traveling with a 15-month-old. We traveled with our 14-month-old last year. Same about 4-hour flight. And I, first of all, just totally agree with Dory. It's safer and easier to get the seat in the car seat. But if you can't afford it, which we could not afford it last year, some tips that helped us, if you have a window seat, that's great and the best. There's these like suction cup spinny things that they sell to put on high chair trays and things like that, but, or the, like fidget toys. But we put them on the windows, and that entertained our kid for a very long time. She liked to spin them, but she also liked to pull them off and put them back on and pull them off and put them back on. She liked to open and close the window a lot, open and close the tray in front of her. And then we also got these like gels, like they sell for, you know, different holidays to put on your windows. We just bought a bunch of random ones, and so she could put those up on the window and take them off the window and put them on the window and take them off the window. So the window proved endlessly fascinating to her with all those different toys. And then when there were times when the seatbelt sign was off, we would walk up and down the aisle a couple times just to get her a little tiny bit of energy out, but we didn't do that very often. And that worked. That plus snacks, like Dory said, that's my advice. My question, which is also travel related for Matt and Dory, is about, how to plan a trip to Disneyland with four families involved. My parents, and then myself and my two siblings, and we each have two kids. So there'll be six kids. And we do a family reunion somewhere every year. And my parents are wanting to take the crew to Disneyland. So, but usually they kind of plan something and tell us where to go and we get there. Mm-hmm. But this is such a bigger and more expensive deal that we kind of want to plan it more collaboratively. So my question is, what are the questions that we should all consider? Like, what are good sort of prompt questions for each family to figure out their answers to before we get together as a group to plan this trip? The only thing I really have in mind is ages, like what ages people feel good about, like how quickly should we do this trip or how long should we wait based on the ages of our kids, and what time of year, like, do we want to go? But are there other questions for this big group, broad range of ages? Right now we have 2-year-olds through 8-year-olds. So what are some other questions we should think about to go into planning this trip? Thank you. Bye.
2-year-olds through 8-year-olds is not a terrible span of ages to bring to Disneyland. Here's what I would do. This is actually, for some reason, this all just clicked into my head when I was listening to this voicemail. There's four families.
Okay.
Now, Disneyland is not nearly as big as Disney World, okay? There's two theme parks. When you're asking what is important to each family, they should be thinking about things like, what is important to them? Are they... Is one family really into seeing shows? Is one family really into meeting characters? Is one family really into rides? You have to figure out that, obviously. And then what I would do, depending on how, I would say if you're spending 2 days there at Disneyland, I hope maybe you're spending more, I don't know. I would have every family come up with their 5 must-dos. There's going to be some overlap. And as long as you guys get those things done, you've had a successful trip. It's not going to put pressure on you to ride all 40 rides or whatever, however many rides there are there, and eat at every single place and meet every character. So, you know, ask the kids. You know, maybe if the families with the older kids, maybe give the older kids like 3 things each, you know, of their must do's. It's not to say that that's the only thing you're going to do there, because it's not.
Right.
But have a list with an expectation going into the weekend or week or whatever, however long you're going to be there. Booking through some sort of a travel agent. Like Magic and Saffron, that might help you out a little bit too. Might take something off somebody's plate. There's a lot of Disney travel people who you don't have to pay. They get paid by getting you booked. That's just what it is. They'll save you money. Yeah, but that's sort of what I would. That's how I would approach this. Each family, get their list, and then let's figure it out from there. Because maybe one family's like really into the Avengers and needs to see one of the Avengers live appearances, or wants to meet Doctor Strange or whatever. You know what I mean? Maybe Pym's kitchen is the place they want to eat the most. So once you get that list, then you're going to have somewhere to jump off from. That's my advice.
Good advice. Good advice. I just had one more thought, which is budget. Yes. I would just want to make sure that all the families are on the same page with regards to budget.
Tell me more.
Well, if one family is thinking like, oh, we want to go like all out, we want to stay at the Grand Californian, we want to do, you know, the like expensive character dining, we want to do this, we want to do that, and like the other family like, whoa, 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 like we don't want to stay on property, like we want to save money, like, you know, so
this sounds like mom and dad are paying for everybody.
You think they are?
That's what it sounds like to me, in which case it is mom and dad's choice as to where they're staying.
But I guess that's something to be talked about, like where they're staying.
Yeah, of course.
That's it. But I think your advice was good. All right. We have been yapping for an hour.
But it felt like only like 10 minutes. It was so good.
It was so great. So great. I do just want to read this quick email from Jess, which is about Disney. Following up from Jess from Minnesota, following up to my voicemail from last week when they rex for Woody's BBQ Roundup in Space 220. Matt was 100% correct. I used Nassim to book all the things. She was very helpful. Thanks to you both for highlighting her on your pod. We also did the princess dining at Cinderella's Palace, which the 5-year-old science kiddo loved, but it was way overpriced for just okay food. We also did Topolino's Terrace character brunch at the Riviera Resort, French cafe, themed with Mickey, Minnie, Daisy, and Donald, and the pastry starter was amazing, and the food was pretty good. I agree. The food was pretty good. We went when it was still like COVID-y, so they weren't doing like the thing, like all the character-y things that they're doing now, but I thought the food was decent. If anyone does this, make certain when taking photos, the windows aren't behind you. It makes for a horrible overexposed photo. We ended up asking if Daisy could come back to our table because my kiddo was quite sad. The photo didn't turn out. We were really happy that Daisy was able to swing back over for another photo. Interestingly, at the brunch, 4 characters, and at the Cinderella lunch, 4 princesses, we noticed that there was someone with a clipboard that seemed to be taking inventory of all the tables and character visits to make sure they stop at each table.
Yeah. Because that's the idea. They tell you, like, if you're coming, okay, you're coming here, just, you know, so you know if you're this whole meal is supposed to expect it to take 50 minutes, and in those 50 minutes, you should see all the characters. They'll tell you something like that even.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to, weirdly, they're trying to make sure you get your too much
your overpriced money's worth.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this brings us to the part of the show where we thank our Patreon supporters. We are so grateful to you. I would describe our situation as precarious at the moment, financially precarious.
Yeah, I would say it's like a house of cards, but and the wind has come.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it's like a house on fire.
No, not yet.
Oh, great. So you can support us at patreon.com/excellentadventure.
Certainly, like it's smoldering. Like you see some smoke in the corner and you're like, oh, this is not going to end well. It's probably, there's an electrical fire behind that wall for sure.
Yeah. So we have a $5 level where you get your name read on the podcast. You get a bonus episode. The $10 level, you get ad-free episodes. 2 bonus episodes.
People seem to like the ad free.
Your name read on the podcast each month. And then we have a very special $25 level where Matt writes a bespoke fun fact for you. And you get all the other stuff at the other levels. We also have a, at this point, pretty massive back catalog of Patreon episodes. So if you're one of those people who just like likes to listen to the top of the show, the Patreon episodes are basically the top of the show.
Yeah, that's a pretty accurate way to describe it.
So, Matt, would you like to do your fun facts?
Yeah, sure. This went with a theme this week. This week's theme was music. I figured if I did it thematically, everyone would get a little bit of information about them shared by everybody regarding music. Here we go. Are you ready? Angie James's favorite singer is Darius Rucker. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's right. Lynn Weisinger played the piccolo in high school marching band, which, you know.
Wow.
That's like half a flute. So I then watched some piccolo videos on YouTube after I wrote that fact. And I was just like, well, this instrument is incredibly annoying. But, you know, certainly in a fife and drum combo, it's the best. Amanda Fujita thinks the Beatles are overrated, but the solo careers of each Beatle is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That is interesting.
Makes you think.
Yeah. Carolyn Land's favorite Beatle is Pete Best. Her second favorite Beatle is Ringo. Do you know who Pete Best is, Dory? You're looking blankly.
Wasn't he the fifth Beatle?
He was the first drummer.
Yeah, the fifth Beatle. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Stu Sutcliffe was the fifth.
I guess really he was the first Beatle.
He was the first. He was the fourth Beatle. Did Pete come and then Stu? Yes, I think that's how it went. Anyway, Diana has seen Billy Joel in concert 16 times. I feel like that's true. Jennifer H.S. is an avid percussionist whose favorite drummer of all time is Neil Peart.
Pete Best.
No, Neil Peart.
Okay.
She's a big Rush fan. Mama Jo loves to roll the windows down and sing enthusiastically every time Whitney Houston's Dance With Somebody comes on.
Oh, I do like that song.
Who doesn't? I mean, come on. The Kembles, during family camping trips, they gather around the campfire and each member of the family sings their favorite Rammstein song. Kembles love metal.
Wow.
Those are the fun facts for this month.
Okay.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. Well, let's thank some more of our supporters. Are you ready?
I don't know. If you're asking if I'm ready in the sense of like, do I have the email open? The answer is no.
That was what I was asking.
Okay, good. Because I have it open now, though.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you to Helen Pope.
Britt S. Baker.
Josephine W.
Anonymous.
Ariana Perry.
Bethany.
Bonnie L.
Carol Balala McNamara.
Catherine Field.
Catherine Sprague.
Cecily Templeton.
Christina.
Christina Keller.
Diane M. Martin.
Elizabeth Motley.
Emily F.
Aaron Riley.
Gretchen.
Jenna Marie Nelson.
Jennifer Austin.
Jennifer Zayas.
Karen Perelman.
Kelly Davis.
Lauren K.
Luciana.
Maria Baker.
Marissa.
Mary Jo George.
Melissa Bozeman.
Mike.
Nassim Kansari.
Olivia Fahey.
Adina L.
Alan L.
Alicia.
Don.
Katie Allen.
Lane and Kate Sepala.
Mickey Smith.
Mimi Steinberg.
Ronit Mazzoni.
Sanctuary Moon. Thank you all very, very much. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you guys next week. See if there's any more chapters to Dory's ongoing saga.
I mean, I'm sick of this book, so I can only assume that our listeners are sick of it also.
This is my favorite book.
Oh God.
This is my new Killing Yourself to Live or High Fidelity.
Oh no. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.